Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about Daniel today. Sermon title is, Lord, I'll just serve you. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes it gets right to where you're, you know, it's you've had so much of everything that you can take. Amen. And you say, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to serve you. Sorry, in the wrong spot. I'm just going to serve you, Lord. How many, it's just my heart to serve the Lord. That's all I want to do. I want to serve God. Hallelujah. Just, you know, I could tell God I didn't sign up for all the stuff that's going on. I didn't sign up for this, Lord. Come on, God, hallelujah. Got a flat tire going to the retreat. I didn't sign up for that, Lord. I thought this was a blessing serving you. Come on, man. Come on, God. What's up? Hey. We go through stuff. How many say, if you've gone through stuff, raise your hands. And hold them up there for a while. If you've gone through stuff. Yeah, you raise your feet. Some folks want to raise their feet, both hands. If you've gone through stuff, raise your hand. I'm going to tell you, folks, we just go through stuff. Is that right? Hallelujah. And we're going to talk a little bit about Daniel and some of the stuff that he went through. Know this, that everything that we go through is for the glory of God. God tells us that. He teaches us that. But somehow we seem to lose sight of that when we're going through it. Is that right? But nevertheless, it's for the glory of God. So, hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you're not liking going through stuff, well, get used to it. Learn to get used to it. You're going to go through stuff. It's okay. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why we have brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's why we go to church, so that we can hear the word of the Lord. We can hear God speaking to our hearts. Because I'll tell you, when you're going through stuff, listen, when you're going through things, when things are happening and you're having a hard time, it's important that you go to your word. It's important that you come to church. That way, because God will speak to you in that stuff and He'll quicken you and He'll encourage you. Hallelujah. Worst thing you can do is to run away. How many say amen to that? How many ever run away? Say, you know what? I'm tired of this. Boom! I'm getting out of here, man. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was having such a hard time understanding things. A young man at work was telling me. He says, "Man, you gotta read your Bible every day, man. And you know, God will talk to you. He'll help you." And I'm listening to him. Then another guy comes over the house and he says, "No, man, you gotta have somebody take you. You gotta have somebody teach you. Otherwise, you're gonna end up with some of these guys that you know. You guys, anybody know Jim Jones?"
Yeah.
And you're going to end up like Jim Jones and, you know, taking a lot of people in the wrong direction. And I didn't want to do that. So I didn't know what to do. I was, one guy, you got to read the word on your own. Another guy, you got to. One morning, I'm up early in the morning trying to read the word of God. And this thing's thinking, well, you can't do this on your own. I got the Bible and I tossed it over against the wall and says, you know, I can't do this. It's too hard. Went out, worked in my garden a little while, came back in, saw my Bible over there up against the wall, you know, pages in the air. Felt bad, mad. Oh, man. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Tossed the book down on the table. My biggest question was, how am I going to do this? One guy says, not to worry about it, that God will lead me and guide me and strengthen me. The brother. Another guy was telling me, you got to have us over your house to teach you. Threw the Bible on the table and it just happened to follow to the first book of John. And the word of God, I just looked down and it says, for the unction that you have within you comes from God. And you have no need that any man teach you. But that same unction will teach you and lead you and guide you in all things. And when I saw that, I broke down and started crying. I said, thank you, Lord. You answered my question. You answered where I was at. How many know God wants to meet you where you're at? He always wants to talk to you. So yeah, you're going to go through things. But the word of God is so important to you. So important that you pick it up and say, God, I'm going through stuff. But what do you got to say today? Lord, just encourage my heart. And he will, if you'll allow him to. If you'll allow him to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't know. That was free? That wasn't part of the sermon, but somehow it made its way in. Amen. Praise God. It's okay. God is good. If you would open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to talk a little bit about this young man. Oh, how many know Daniel was a great guy? There's a few guys that I want to visit when I get to heaven, talk to them and see how they're doing. Just kind of when we get there. How many guys? I want to talk to David. How's that? Yeah, I want to talk with David. I'd like to talk with Moses a little bit. I want to talk with Jesus a lot. A lot. But this young man here, Daniel, is one of the guys I'd love to sit down and talk to him. And how many of you know we're going to get a chance? How many of you know that, you know? Would it be funny that maybe even Daniel wants to talk to you because of what God's got in your life and what God's going to do through you? What if Moses is waiting for you to get there so that he can talk? Hey, I want to talk to that guy or that young lady. Amen? Think about it that way. Sometimes we just got no idea. Folks, God has built us for stuff. And if we yield to it, you watch what God does. Anyway, I don't know. Kind of fired up this morning. Is that okay? Yeah. Well, I don't know. So I'll calm down. Is everybody at Daniel chapter 6? Am I the last one to get there? Daniel chapter 6. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, God. Father, we honor you in all things. All things, Father, we honor you. Father, I ask you, Lord, that as I speak your word this morning and as I bring a message to your people, Lord, I just ask you, Father God, that you would make the message, bring a clarity to it, to every heart, Lord. Father, build, Father, strengthen, Father. Lord, we desire to build your people. Lord, I know by your spirit you desire to strengthen and build every person that's in here this morning, God. So I give you all the praise and honor for it, Father God. Use me this morning to speak to your people. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to take off my jacket. It's okay. It's hot up here. Is it okay? Are you guys going to let me? I mean, I did wear a jacket to church this morning, so that you know. So, praise God. Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit, everybody say excellent spirit, an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Over how much of the realm? The whole realm. Hallelujah. Daniel had quite a life in Babylon up to this point. And Daniel, around 607 B.C., Daniel was taken as a captive to Babylon. And he might have been around 12 to 14 years old. And this was probably 607 B.C. And taken and looked at by the king's men. They were searching for wise young men that could communicate with people. They were searching for guys that had extraordinary giftings. And so Daniel was chosen as one of those young men. And right around 603 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel, about this time, was probably about 18 to 20 when Nebuchadnezzar's dream happened. And Nebuchadnezzar was baffled because he was getting ready to kill all the astrologers, the magicians. I don't know how I mixed up magician with musician, but anyway, the king was going to kill them all. And Daniel asked, "Why is the king's decree so hasty?" And he said, "Give me a little bit of time, and I'll get an answer for you." Daniel went and sought God, and he had three friends that that went with, and they sought for the Lord, asked God to give them the answer. All the soothsayers, magicians, and all those other guys that the king had that he thought was going to give him the answers could not give the answers because God had given the dream. How many? God had given the dream, and God is the only one that will interpret the dreams. I'm going to tell you that. This is something for you too. Sometimes, folks, listen to me. Listen, God will speak to you personally. He will talk to you. He will show you things. If you have a dream, go to him and ask him what it means. Don't go to 10 other people and find, get a consensus. Oh, yeah, you're a bad person. You need to go out and hang yourself. No, man, that was a joke. Sorry, you didn't get that. Anyway, go to the Lord and let him tell you what it means. God gives dreams. He'll give the interpretation. Here, King Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, and the interpretation was given to Daniel, and Daniel went in. Probably a young man, 18, like I say, 18 to 20 years old, gave the interpretation. Immediately, the king raised him up, promoted him. Folks, let me just say this. Promotion comes only from the Lord. Do you know that? Yeah, you might have a good job. You might be looked at as the king or as the best guy in the job, but I'm going to tell you something. You're there because God has promoted you there. Do you hear me? God is the God of promotions. He's the one that brings you up, pulls you up. In the kingdom of God, do you know how you get promoted in the kingdom of God? Do you know? It's important that you know that promotion comes only from the Lord and that this book here, let me just say this book. This book, I mean, not this one, but the Bible, the Word of God, God's Word. You stay in God's Word and God, he'll reveal something to you. And every time he reveals something to you, listen to me, you're being promoted. Do you know that? Understanding comes in a way that the Holy Spirit brings you something and enlightens you to see what the Word of God is saying. Promotion has just come to you. You didn't see anything in your check, but you just got a promotion. Do you understand that? Because God is trying to build you and strengthen you for this world today. Come on, man. Hallelujah. It's incredible. The world don't know this stuff. That's why I will tell you, I'm sorry. This is the only book you need for your spiritual life. Only book. You don't need any additions. It's okay to read something by another brother. As a matter of fact, I just bought some books that we're gonna try to start giving out. It's for new believers, and it's called, I can't remember what it's called. Do you remember what it's called, Pat? The new you and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's what it was. It's okay to have these other books, but I'm going to tell you something. This book right here is the answer to everything you need. Don't add on to it. Don't add on to it. You don't need another book to add on to it. Can I just say that to you? God, for whatever reasons, I believe that God, by his sovereignty, by his wisdom and understanding, created one book for us to look at. Come on, man. Stay in your Bible. Read it every day. It will strengthen you. There are things in here that you've got no idea about. You don't need another book to go searching stuff out. You get in the Word of God, you stay in the Word of God. There are things that are hidden in here. You'll be astounded. You'll be amazed. Give me another word. You will be astounded at what God will show you out of his word because there are hidden things that he will show you. That's cool, man. Hallelujah. Don't let somebody talk you into using some other book. Do you know the book? The Mormons use the Bible and the Book of Mormon. What's with that? Which one are you supposed to use? Come on, toss the other one. Use the Bible. Use the Bible, the Word of God. It will teach you. It'll instruct you. It'll take you into all truth. The Holy Ghost will speak to you out of it. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. Now where am I? Don't know. Verse 4. No, not there. Sorry. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel interpreted the dream. And Nebuchadnezzar promoted him. Then I think what happened with Nebuchadnezzar, this happened in about 580 BC. Possibly Daniel was about 40, 42. Nebuchadnezzar builds this image. It's a big, tall image. Puts it in a plane of Dur, I think it's called. It's a golden image. I think that what he saw in his dream, he built it. Isn't that the way we are? God was just showing him that he was going to be in that dream before when with Daniel. God was just showing him that he was the head, that he was the golden nation that God was going to use. And then there was a silver nations before, and then there was Hank, help me out. Then there was brass and bronze or brass, and then there was a iron nation. Then there was an iron mixed with clay nations, a mixture of stuff. It just got worse as you went down. So this king builds this thing. It's all out of gold. Man. And then he tells everybody, we want you to bow down before this thing. Daniel might have been about 41 at that time, but it was his friends that refused to bow down to that. Doesn't say anything about Daniel being in the area, but when that happened, the King Nebuchadnezzar found out that there was a God. It was a lot more than a dream. It was something that he saw, a fourth man in a fire with three guys that he had just planned to put to death. And those three guys would not die in that fire. And there was a God in there with them, man. Hallelujah. And he's a man, there is a God. There is a God. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Then in 570, Nebuchadnezzar dreams a dream about a tree. At this age, Daniel was probably about 51 years old. 51, 54, somewhere around there. King has a dream about a tree, King Nebuchadnezzar. The tree was the king. And he's troubled by this tree, but he calls Daniel because Daniel had positioned himself in a place as a dream expounder. He was one that could interpret dreams. And the Word of God says that in Daniel was found the wisdom of the gods. It was only one God. So the dream comes to Daniel, and Daniel has a hard time talking to the king about this dream. He says, well, here it is. Here it is, king. The tree is you. And there's somebody, there's an angel that's going to come down, and he's going to chop down this tree. And for 7 years, you're going to eat like a cow. Well, it says a beast, so I don't know. You're going to eat like a beast. You're going to grow feathers. You're going to have claws. For 7 years, but after 7 years, king, God's going to restore your kingdom. And it happened just exactly the way Daniel had interpreted the dream, because God gave Daniel the interpretation. 51 years old. Whew. 51 years old. Stuff happening with Daniel. And then we come to this time right here that we're talking about in Daniel chapter 6. So I always kind of, every time I would read the book of Daniel, I just kind of always kind of pictured him being a young man going through all this stuff, but it wasn't that way. When Daniel went into the lion's den, you know how old he was? He was somewhere in his 80s. Somewhere. I said, man, hallelujah. Figures it around 538. B.C., Daniel might have been 83 to 85 years old. No, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong place. This was Belshazzar. This was when Belshazzar the king, remember Belshazzar the king? He took the vessels of the house of the Lord, and he filled them with wine, and they were drinking. And all of a sudden, on the wall came a hand, and it wrote something on the wall. And they all saw it, and the king got real scared. And he said, hey, man, what does it say? What does it say? Nobody knew what it said. And he was shaking. He was afraid. And his wife comes to him and says, hey, you know, you got a guy in your kingdom that knows how to interpret this kind of stuff. His name is Daniel. Why don't you call for him? Because he can do this. He knows God. He is able to do what you're asking. So calls Daniel in. Daniel looks at it. He says, oh, yeah, this is what it says. It says that your time is up, king. You've been measured. You found lacking. You're out of here tonight. That night, the Persians attacked and took over. And Daniel was still in the palace, stayed in the palace. Got my notes mixed up. 83. 534 is where we're at now. From 538 to 534, King Darius creates a relationship with Daniel. He likes him. Okay, so we're going to keep reading. Verse 4, thank you. Verse 4, the Word of God says this. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him. This is an aged Daniel. The scriptures are saying that these guys were looking for a reason to put Daniel out of the presidency, to put Daniel out of being the chief counselor. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. When these presidents and the princes assembled together to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. These men talked to the king in a way that made him feel pretty good. O king, live forever. Amen. Man, you're our good king, man. You're our best king. You're the best king we've ever had in our life, man. Yeah, you know, God, you know, king, you know, live forever. We love you. They talked to him in a way. They flattered him. And they say, you know what? We need to make a decree. You know, you're so wise. You're the wisest king we've ever had, too. We're going to make a decree that anybody that doesn't ask you and goes and prays to a god or anything, if he doesn't come and ask you first, how about we just arrest him and put him in a den of lions? And the king's saying, yeah, yeah, all built up. He's all puffed up. Yeah, yeah, good. And folks, you know, be careful with people that will tell you what you want to hear. Amen. Be careful with people like that. You know, the Word of God tells us the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You be careful with people that will try to tickle your ear. Yep. Tell you how good you are, everything. And underneath there's an avenue they're trying to get to you in. Yeah. In this instance, they're trying to go after Daniel. And this king, you're going to see, he loved Daniel. Oh, yeah. Verse 9 says, whereof King Darius signed the writing of the decree. What usually happens to people that love God? What usually happens to them? A lot of times we just go, can I tell you this, that the world's not friendly with us? Can I tell you that? Is that okay? Do you guys realize that? Has anybody recognized that yet? As of yet, you know, hey, the world's not friendly with you. They're not. They're just not. They can be very social, very nice to you at work or wherever you're at. But if you begin to talk to them about Jesus, hey, let me tell you something about Jesus. Oh, dude, I don't talk religion. Okay. Hey, you know God loves you. Hey, keep that to yourself. I had a friend at work one time who says, man, you know, he goes, I find it's my personal privacy and I don't talk about God. I said, wow, okay. Whoa, that's cool. But you know, friends, folks, it's important that we as people of God, we speak to people about the kingdom. How many know that? We're here for that reason. You're here for that reason. You're here not to mess around with your words, say, hey, man, you know what? I do love Jesus. How many love Jesus? How many aren't afraid to say, hey, you know what? I love Jesus. I got a hat that says I love Jesus on it. It says Jesus all the way around the brim. And I'm not sure if it's just got a heart with a love Jesus. And I wear my hat backwards. I get a lot of looks at that hat. I get a lot of weird looks. I guess some people come up and tell me, hey, man, I like your hat. Come on. I said, you like my hat because you love Jesus, isn't it? Yeah, that's right, yeah. Not afraid to tell people love Jesus. Are you afraid to tell people you love Jesus? Seriously, that's a good question. You can even ask your heart. Are you afraid to tell people you love Jesus? You know, how, you know, there's some folks that are. We'll hold that in. I was at a wedding this weekend. I'd say, and it was there early on the rehearsal night. And this truck pulls in, and they're bringing all this alcohol. And I talked about this in the wedding, but they're bringing all this alcohol in. And there were some steps. The guy's putting it on the platform, and then they're having to carry it back. So, well, I'm there. I'm not doing anything. They got to move this stuff to the back. So I grab a case of beer, and I'm carrying it to the back. There was also a bottle of, I think it was Jim Beam or something on it, alcohol. And I was saying, man, I haven't carried a case of beer since 1979. I used to go into a Circle K, buy a case of beer. Yeah, walk out real proud. Got me a case of beer. And I was telling Abby, I go, man, I haven't carried a case of beer since 1979. I said, if anybody wanted to destroy my church, and folks, that would have been the time. Take a picture, put it on Facebook. You guys like your Facebook? Click. Pastor's carrying this. Is this your pastor? Come on, man. Anyway. But I'll tell you, I'm not afraid to tell people how much I love Jesus. I'm not afraid. It doesn't bother me to say that to them. It doesn't bother me when they tell me stuff, tell me back, oh, you're one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them. I am one of them. Oh, are you one of them? Tongue-talking, liver-lacking, whatever. I am. Are you? No way, man. Get away from me. It's okay, man. It's all right. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid. Folks, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, to the Greek. Hallelujah. I love God. I love God, and I want to do what He wants me to do. Doesn't matter what everybody else wants me to do. I want to do what He wants me to do. That's my... And for some reason, He wants me to do this. Okay, I'll do it. For you, Lord, I will do anything. For you, God, I'll do anything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 5. Verses 10 and 12. Know this, you're going to have people get on you. They're not going to like you. It's okay. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Is that right? For theirs is what? Kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. And I like that. Falsely, for my sake, is what Jesus is saying. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Do you get that? Rejoice and be glad. It's okay if they persecute you. It's okay if they don't like you. It's okay. It's all right because you're a man of God. And God is behind you. Is that right? God's watching over you. He's taking care of you. Hallelujah. Watch, let's read the next few verses right after this. Hallelujah. Because there's a reason why these things are happening. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says this. You are the salt of the earth. This is the very next verse. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. But you are the light of the world. Everybody say, I'm the light of the world. You are. I agree with you. You are. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel, he puts it on a candlestick and gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
When they persecute you, when they say all manner of evil against you, come on, man. Hallelujah. Let your light shine. Let it get even brighter, man. Man, you're one of them weird ones. I am. Come here, brother. Give you a hug because I am one of them. I'm a one of them. That's who I am. I am. I am. I am. Never mind. Is that natural Libra? I'm sorry. Come on. My wife does not like that. Sorry. Sorry, babe. Glory to God. I am. I am. Back to Daniel verses 10 through 11, chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. Then the men assembled. This is our prayer. This is our power verse right here. Verse 11 says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Oh, man. I love this. I love this. In the midst of the persecution, in the midst of you know what, we're going to tear him down. We're going to get rid of him. He is going to a lion's den. He has broken the law. How many know that there are laws that are going to be made that are against? Do you guys know that? Do you guys realize that there can be laws that are waged against us to keep us from doing what we love to do, worship God? Do you know that that could happen? Do you realize it? And here is maybe an 85-year-old man. Here's about the law. Here's about the consequences of the law. And he goes home, opens his curtains. And like he's always done, 3 times a day. Lord, I love you. I praise your name. I worship you. It doesn't matter what they've said. What matters is to me is that I want to serve you. I will serve you till I die. For him to do that? In him wasn't found no fault. He was wiser than all the wisest. He was the best of the best in the land, and King Darius knew about it. He knew it. I love it. Daniel 7:25. Watch this. All right, look at this. Talking about the Antichrist in the last time, because Daniel, not only is he a statesman, but he's also a prophet. His prophecies so coincide with things that have been said in the book of Revelation by John. these prophecies just almost run together. Is that right, Hank? Verse 25 says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times of the dividing of time." I'll tell you something. As we see the things coming up in the world, as we get closer to that time when the Antichrist comes on the earth, you're going to see some things changing. And there, a lot of the things that are going to be changing, the laws are going to be changing. They will be changing because it is an Antichrist spirit that's in the earth today. How many know that? It's an Antichrist spirit. Anything that is contrary to God and to Jesus is an Antichrist spirit. Amen. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. It will change things. But yet, even in those changes, folks, your strength is in the Lord. Your strength is in the Lord. Knowing Him is your best place, is your only protection. It's not knowing the pastor of the church or my best friend that's been a Christian for 45 years. Man, this, I'm going to go find out what they got to say. No, your best protection, Jesus Christ. And only Jesus. Hallelujah. Who cares if they change the laws? I'll pray that God don't let them change the laws. But if they do, I'm down. Come on, Lord. Let it happen. Lord, hallelujah. I will serve you with all my heart and all my strength. With everything that I got, I will serve you, Lord. That's who I am. Verse 12, it says, "And they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, except of you, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions?" And the king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not." The king said, "Yeah, and we cannot break that law. Cannot be taken back." Then answered they and said before the king, "You know that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regards not you, O king, nor the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Oh, I love it. Talk about Daniel behind his back, praise God, to the king. And the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with who? With who was he mad? Who was he displeased with? Himself. He knew it. These guys beguiled me. Because their desire to ascend to the top, they tricked me. And they're after Daniel. And he knows it. And he said, "Oh, man." He goes, "Man." He's displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. The king, after that decree, could not even break it. He says, "No." These men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." You got to do what you said you would do. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said to Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually," what?
"He will deliver thee."
I like Darius. I like him. You know what Darius was doing? I love it. Darius, a Babylonian king, or I'm sorry, he was a Persian king, prophesying to a man of God, "He will deliver you. Your God will deliver you because you are righteous and you have been doing what he has asked you to do all your life. You might be 85, but you're a powerful 85. Hallelujah. Who's the oldest one in the room? Come on, Arden. How old are you, Arden?
I agree.
86 and a half. Anybody older than that? 86 and a half. Let me tell you something. and a powerful 86 and a half at that too. Come on, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something, folks. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth will be renewed as the eagles. That's you. He gives you something to say, but you got to say it. Who was I talking to about that this morning? Come on, Bob. You got to agree with God and say what he says. He says he gives you good things in your mouth so that your youth, everybody say my youth. My youth. Everybody say it again. My youth. So that your youth is renewed as the eagles and an 86 and a half year old powerhouse for God. Hallelujah. I don't care who you are. The word works with everybody. It's the same to you if you'll believe him. Hallelujah. You're not getting older, baby. You're getting better. You are getting better. God is doing something. He's teaching you. Listen, there is a teaching going into you right now that's saying, begin to speak what God is saying. By his stripes, I've been healed. He renews my youth like the eagles. He says this. He's not giving me the spirit of fear, but he's given me the spirit of what? Love, power, and of what? Sound mind. Alzheimer's has no chance against the word of God. Alzheimer's or whatever those other brain problems, just because you forget doesn't mean jack. How's that? How many of you forget stuff? Anybody forget stuff? Hallelujah. And a lot of times we just say, oh, I'm just getting old. Is that right? Is that what you say? Stop it. Stop saying that. I remember my teen day. I remember taking my daughter and my son to school. Oh, Dad, I forgot my glove. You forgot your glove. Oh, Dad, I forgot my homework. Oh, come on, Rebecca. Hey, everybody forgets. Everybody gets busy and forgets. So don't tell yourself, I'm getting old. Okay? Is that all right? His word says he has not given you a spirit of fear, but he has given you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Amen. Speak that out of your mouth. Let it come out of your mouth. And you watch. You watch. It's because it's the word of God. It's not your word. It's his word. And his word will do what he says it will do. Hallelujah. If you believe it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. The world don't want you talking like this. They want you to agree with them because they don't know anything else but how to discourage themselves with their own words. Where you are to encourage yourself with the word of God. And you are to encourage those around you with the word of God.
Amen.
So let these things flow. Let it rip. Amen. Let the rivers flow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know if I can get out of this. Can you put up 1 Corinthians 15? Verse 58. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord and in his power, and you'll see things. Hallelujah. Here's the word of God. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When Daniel hit his knees, nothing to worry about. God was on his side. God was on his side. You've got nothing to worry about. Can I just say that to you? I'm going to tell you this. You got nothing to worry about. I will say this to you and say this. You've got nothing to worry about because your God knows how to keep you and hold you and keep you safe. You just honor him. You go to him. You allow him to speak into your life. You watch. You have got more than what you've ever expected. God is so much more than you can imagine. And he loves you. It's crazy, huh?
Amen.
I don't even love you. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I love you. It's crazy how much he loves you. And he's got so much for you. He will watch over and take care of you. Glory to God. Verses 18 through 28. Let's finish this up. The king had prophesied to Daniel. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Near there were instruments of music brought before him, And his sleep went from him, and the king arose very early in the morning and went in. It went in with haste under the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice under Daniel. Lamentable. The king was imagining possibly the worst, but was hoping for the best. Amen? Amen. Oh, Daniel. He said to Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? Woo. And then Daniel said unto the king, oh, king, live forever. Hallelujah. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had mastery over them, and broke all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. This was King Darius's letter. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men would tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall be not, which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Love the story. Daniel trusted God with all his heart. And what I didn't remember, I didn't realize he was an 85, possibly year old man, standing in that den of lions. Standing, hallelujah. I wonder what he said to those lions. Hello, kitty, kitty. Yeah, come on, kitty, kitty. Hey, you're looking a little thin, aren't you? Yeah, what's your name? Yeah, you know, I think Daniel played with the cats that night. The wildcats that night. I think Daniel had a great night.
Because probably wasn't on them, it was on God.
Amen. He was focused on his God. I believe that God had Daniel with those lions worshiping, giving praise. Somewhere along the night, just think about it, somewhere along that night, Daniel had to realize, hey, God's what? Hey, this is God. These cats didn't even want to come and smell me. You know what I mean? They don't even care about me. Somewhere along the line that night, Daniel realized, hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I think even now, lay down and take a nap. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. You know, these stories are, these events that happen, these things are, the Word of God says they're given to us for us. Is that right? They give it so that you might know. I'm sorry. So that you might know that this same God that cared for Daniel cares for you. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is that right? Come on, man. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Oh, come on, you guys. How Jesus was given for you, the God of the King, the King of the universe gave his son for you, for you, for you, for you. He's for you and he's not against you. Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? Who's going to accuse you of stuff? Who's going to do that? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors. I'm going to tell you something. Daniel was more than a conqueror. 85-year-old, he was more than a conqueror. Can I ask you what a more than a conqueror looks like? What does more than a conqueror look like? What does more than a conqueror look like? Jesus. Jesus, thank you. More than a conqueror looks at Jesus as more than a conqueror. How many of you want to be a conqueror? It's nice to be a conqueror, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is more than a conqueror, and that's who's dwelling in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you are more than a conqueror because of him that dwells in you. Do you get it? Do you understand that God has made you, has placed you in a place where you don't have to worry about anything? You just talk to him, and you'll see. Hallelujah. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know who you are? Stand up, please. Hallelujah. Do you realize who you are? Do you realize that you are more than a conqueror through Christ that loved you? Do you realize that there is nothing, hallelujah, going on in your life that he knows, that he doesn't know about, and that he knows your heart? So, Father, I thank you for your people this morning, God. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would touch each and every one, Lord. Allow your spirit, Lord God. Father God, to those that have broken hearts this morning, Lord, I pray that the oil of Galilee, Lord, your Holy Spirit would flow into their hearts, Lord. Let them know how much you love them, Father. Cause them to realize, Lord, the love that you have for them. Father, for those, Lord, hallelujah, that are fighting a battle this morning, Father God, with what? With unforgiveness? With trouble? Father, I just ask you, Lord, that you would, Father, touch their heart this morning. Lord, allow them, Father God, to sense who you are this morning, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, Father, have your way in our lives, Father God. This week, Father, as your people go out into the world, Father, I just pray that you would, Father God, use them for your kingdom and for your glory, Lord. Let them speak, Father God, to someone that needs you this week, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Father, thank you, Lord, for who you are in our lives, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming this morning.